Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today, our guest is Tommy Williams. He is a past president and current chairman of the board of the National Auctioneers Association. He's been in the auction business since 1963 and co-founded Williams and Williams Auction with his son, Dean. Tommy, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Bruce.
Tommy, you've been a member of the National Auction Association for over four decades. What would an auctioneer miss out on if they weren't a member?
Well, there are many things. Number one, of course, would be education. I think in any chosen line of endeavor, education is how you advance your ability to deliver your service better. And certainly there's no question that the education that the National Auctioneers Association, and when I say education, it's from all of the different venues that offer auctions, offer auctions, you have different experts giving you advice on how they have tried different ideas and the different ideas when they were either success or failure. But certainly when you give that then to your counterparts, I don't think there's anything that is more beneficial than that.
April 18th is National Auctioneers Day. What would you like to see auction companies do on that day?
I would like to see them make their community aware, and when I say aware of the magnitude of auctions. And more importantly, that what auctions really do. Auctions are not a negative. They are a very positive thing. When they are done correctly, they're probably one of the very best ways to determine what I call market value at a given point in time on any product. It isn't that it's a distress situation. It just means that today, whether we're talking about a car or a home or a horse, this is the value on that particular day when it's been marketed appropriately. So first off, I think they need to be sure they get the message out of how broad-based the auction business is and how it is a very good vehicle for both buyer and seller to be involved in. And then there's a lot of other things. I think that the auction industry touches communities and they don't realize that. There are many, many benefit auctions that are conducted throughout the United States. And, of course, auctioneers are helping with those all the time, and the amounts of money are into the billions of dollars that are raised for charity and done through auctions. So we have a very good story to tell, and unfortunately, I'm afraid, as usual, the media picks up on a little too much of the negative and doesn't pay enough attention to what I call the really positive aspects of the auction business.
I was actually looking at the numbers, and there's as much money raised in charity auctions as were sold residential real estate. And I honestly was astonished by that.
That is very true. The benefit auction or charity auction part of our business has been there literally forever. When I can remember when I actually started my career, and as you mentioned a moment ago, that's 40-some years ago, the very first opportunities that I had were in charity auctions. Because obviously in a community there are a variety, whether it's the 4-H cookie sale, something that very minimal to maybe one of the best fundraisers at the university in your particular community, and they're always looking for auctioneers, and they're willing to try the new auctioneers that maybe are not as experienced because the experienced ones maybe at times are a little too busy. And so very often that's where auctioneers get introduced to the community, and then you then move on up to very sophisticated, what we call benefit auctioneers, that actually bring a whole professional package to a particular nonprofit and have proved that oftentimes you bring in a benefit auctioneer, and if the sale was grossing $100,000 in 2 or 3 years after the expertise the benefit auctioneer brings, it's grossing $300,000.
That's interesting. In the eyes of realtors, are auctioneers seen as a competitor or as a partner in the process of selling houses?
They should be seen as a partner. There is absolutely no reason at all why the real estate community should not embrace the auction business and vice versa. I think that unfortunately that is not the way it really is. If I'm a great person to just tell things as I see them, I do think that for whatever the reason, there is some fear, particularly from the real estate community, about auctions. And maybe the main fear is that an auction is going to tell you the value today for that home in that particular neighborhood. And I think at times the real estate community would rather not face that reality. It's going to be faced at some point in time, and the auction does not allow you any other alternative other than to face it head on. And I think at times the real estate community, they would say, well, I would rather talk about it being worth $200,000 than to realize it's only worth $165,000.
Well, you know, a lot of times the owners certainly balk at the number, and I've been an owner that has balked at the number at an auction, and more often than not, I've paid a price for that.
Yes, I think we all, any of us that have done business, no matter of what kind of business we're in, we have had that very scenario, Bruce. You just don't believe that today that this really is the value. You, for whatever the reason, it has nothing to do with it being a home or it being a tractor or a cow. It just so happens that that's your product. And you really, in your heart of hearts and your hope of hopes, you wanted it to be worth more money than the public says it's worth today. But usually the public tells the truth. One thing about auctions, and they have proven this, and I know you study this, auctions are one of the best barometers of where something is headed economically that you possibly can follow. They'll tell you when things are at the bottom going up, and they'll tell you when they're at the top going down. They just speak the truth of the marketplace, and they do speak it with almost an unbelievable accuracy.
It's very common for realtors to be women. Is it common for women to be involved as an auctioneer?
It is getting to be more so all the time. You know, we've talked about I've been in this business four decades. And when I started, to my knowledge, there were no lady auctioneers. The lady auctioneer that I know of that has been in the business the longest, it was just one lady, and she was, back in the 1960s, I think she was on a TV show because it was such an unusual thing that she was a lady auctioneer. But today, I think if you would go to the average auction school class, you would find that probably at least 20%, and that might be very conservative, maybe more like a third of the people in the class are ladies.
Tommy, if you were in the mortgage business, there's a lot of changes coming down the pike due to the real estate crash. Are there any legislative issues that could affect the auction business?
I don't know that I would say there are legislative issues. There are legislative issues that affect us all. And I'll pick one. Any time that the legislature dictates not selling whatever the product is, it doesn't make it, we're talking about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
But if any time that the legislature postpones the sale of the product for its real value today, then as you just alluded to a moment ago, usually that means a deterioration of the net dollars that the owner is going to receive. Whether it's a mortgage company, it's a federal government, it's Bruce Norris, or whoever that might be. So postponement, and particularly in real estate is very fragile. I can't think of anything that deteriorates more when it is left unattended than a home. So an empty home left unattended deteriorates in value rapidly. And so when we pass legislation that causes that process of moving that home from being an empty home into the hands of somebody that is going to own it, whether it's an investor or it's a homeowner that's going to live in it, but somebody that is really going to take care of it and care for it, when we postpone that, that seriously affects everybody.
Well, I know that Fannie and Freddie had postponed the auction process for anything in there that was in trouble with them until just recently, April 1st, I believe, they came back and said, okay, they're going to continue the foreclosures. So that will ultimately turn out to cost them quite a bit of money, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I think that not willing to accept market value is of all the things that we have a variety of things that have had a negative impact on the real estate industry. But if I pick the number one factor by far, and because my company has been involved with this for years, and so I can think back homes that we could have sold 4 years ago, and they would have brought, say, $300,000, and now here we are selling them 4 years later, and they're bringing $185,000. Just calculate the loss. It's unimaginable. And of course, the more we postpone it, the more we do not address that, it just gets worse by the day.
I recently looked at the Auctioneers magazine and read that last couple of years, about $270 billion worth of whatever, real estate, autos, and so forth, were sold in 07 and 08. Were those record numbers for the industry?
Not quite. Last year we were down just a fraction, but when I say a fraction, just a few billion dollars. But we've been on a very steady growth. In other words, each and every year we've had significant growth in the total dollars of products sold at auction. But obviously, 2008 was affected. You know, we're selling the same commodity that we're all dealing with every day, and that means all the different commodities that we can imagine. And unfortunately, those values in 2008 did deteriorate a little bit, so our volume went up. And so normally, why it would have gone up in total dollars, but due to the a little bit of devaluation in a variety of areas, why we were down just a few billion from the year before.
But those back to back years, those were record setting years for the auction business.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Right up. In fact, I don't think there's been a year that any of us can remember that was not an increase in total volume until last year.
Okay. Yeah. And that was coming off of a record. And if you're auctioning houses, and depending on the state, you could be auctioning two houses or three houses for the price of one a year before. So is it fair to say the volume's exploded?
The volume has definitely exploded.
Okay.
No question about that.
Most of the volume increase has come from institutional ownership?
I don't know whether you should say most. There's no question that a large increase has come from institutional ownership. But here's something that a lot of people don't realize. We have been tracking these numbers. The National Auctioneers Association started with More Pace International. That's a research gathering firm of a very high reputation. And we started gathering figures with them, if I remember correctly, about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since they started tracking, the increase in volume of real estate sold at auction has been double digit ever since they started tracking it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, right through these really good times, it was double digit growth, and at that time, very little of it came from institutional sellers.
That's correct.
But now, all of a sudden, as the things that have happened to us that we all are aware of in 2008, there has been a large growth in institutional sellers.
Do you feel the auction business will gain some permanent market share because of the real estate crash, or will things return to normal after the downturn?
Well, I don't know whether you should ask me this, because there's no one you'll ever talk to that believes that long range, that the auction method of marketing real estate is not only here to stay, but one of the more viable ways to auction, or not auction, but one of more viable ways to sell your property. I happen to use it all the time for anything my family or I have any ownership in. I don't even think about selling it any other way than at auction. So I certainly believe, and with a very strong belief, that yes, the auction method of marketing real estate is not only going to be here to stay when we get through this little blurp in our system, and I think you'll see steady growth for many, many years. And one of the things I go to are countries like New Zealand, Australia, Great Britain. Those countries use the auction method of selling real estate far, far more than we do.
It's actually, I was just going to mention that. That's actually probably the preferential system.
In Australia and New Zealand, if I remember correctly, last I knew, it's like 75 or 80% market share of residential homes, I think, sell at auction.
I was in Ireland, and that seemed to dominate. It really did.
Yes.
Every day in California, we have what's called trustee sales at the courthouse steps. The sales are being held at the request of the lender. The advertising that's done draws virtually no one. Anyone new to bid on the property. I was just wondering, are there attempts by the National Auction Association to get involved with a lender prior to the bank owning the property?
Yes, that was one of the main goals that I had when I was president, and the association has worked diligently to try to carry that message to our congressional leaders, and we, in fact, the National Auctioneers Association, we have a day where we go and meet with our legislators in Washington every year, and we have tried to get anybody that would listen to us to listen and tell them that we really need to shortcut what I call the traditional foreclosure process, and that's what you're talking about. A process that was really never meant to sell the house. It was just meant to transfer the deed from the delinquent owner to the really the mortgage holder. And done correctly, that would maybe be one of the most important things in the entire real estate community. I'm talking dollars and cents saved by everybody. Because if you would sell that home and it would, by a professional auction company, if they would advertise it and do it correctly and sell it immediately as it was going through the whole foreclosure process, which you could still accomplish all of the legal things that are accomplished in the foreclosure process, but now sell it, marketed it, and done the best it could be to the new owner, the dollars saved. I got this number from speaking with the president of the Mortgage Bankers Association. He said just the dollars that would be saved in the foreclosure process, forget the difference in the price, but the dollars saved in the foreclosure process could be something like $15,000 per home. That are fees, legal fees, and a variety of fees that are incurred by the mortgage holder that accomplish absolutely nothing.
Well, you know, in California, we keep on passing rules that mess up the system. In California now, when a lender gets a property back and that trustee's deed's recorded, a city official goes out to see the property, and if it's got a problem, which they all do, there's a fine process that is allowed to begin. The fine can be a grand a day up to $100,000. They just passed that rule probably within 120 days ago, and now there are cities that have actually hired commissioned salespeople to go do that.
That I had not heard of that, Bruce, and that is unbelievable.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. Talk about a transfer of wealth.
Well, here's the part that I think people don't realize when they pass laws like that. That when you do things like that, there comes a point when really people will no longer want to give mortgages on houses. It will become a business that the downside potential exceeds the upside gain, and you'll eliminate mortgage lending, the very thing that they say they want to increase and facilitate and make it better. When people pass laws like that, how would you like to be a lender that,
yes,
through no fault of your own, you could start losing $1,000 a day just because the person didn't pay their mortgage?
We had an interview with a gentleman last week, and this was on the radio, and one of his solutions was that when a foreclosure occurs, that the lender be forced to rent the property to the former owner. If that wasn't bad enough, the length of time he had in mind was 20 years.
Well, unfortunately, the person that you were talking to doesn't understand anything about money, capitalism, the profit incentive that drives a free society. People that have ideas like that, I hate to be that harsh, but they just don't understand economics.
Well, I later in the interview asked him if he would also like to socialize medicine, in which he confirmed, yes, that was true, too. So he wasn't going to be one of our favorite interviews, but I wanted people to realize, I was going to kind of wait till later, but do you sense a shift in the attitude of the country that scares you at this point?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Bruce, you and I have had the chance to visit several times in the last year, and I've had the opportunity to actually sit down and visit with you face to face. I think since you and I had our first telephone conversation, what I call the overall feeling in America that capitalism and private enterprise is no longer a particularly something that we should be in favor of in America, it's astounding to me.
I agree. I've been very concerned about some of the things that I've seen, and I certainly hope that we can get this turned around You know, one of some of the things that we suggested at the meeting that we had last year, virtually none of those have been enacted. And I really think that if the lenders sold the properties at whatever the market would bear and they were being bought by investors, I think the problem solves itself pretty fast. But, yeah, capitalism right now doesn't seem to be a very favorite subject, that's for sure.
Yes, capitalism right now, Bruce, is not in vogue, to put it plainly.
That's right. Getting back to the auctions, is there such a thing as a short sale auction?
I wouldn't call it a short. I mean, when I call it a short sale, really, I call that a pre-foreclosure auction.
Exactly. That's what that is. It's not even in the process yet, but there's in essence, people try to do that. The listing agents have a, you know, they give a low listing price in the MLS, and then the lender either says yes or no. I wonder if the auction company could be involved at that point where the number would be more believable.
Well, we actually started a program, Bruce, in our company that was that is exactly what it was. I mean, it had a little different name, but that was exactly what we said. We said the minute and the now we found when we rolled it out that at the beginning it had good response from both the person that was delinquent in their mortgage and the mortgage holder. We said, you know, here, why don't you, the minute that you have a problem, call our company. Let's go out and meet with the seller, and let's see if we can have an auction. Let's have them take care of the property, do everything that they possibly can to present the property so it'll bring the most dollars that it can. And then we know from the pure economics of it, it looks like it is not going to bring what you owe on it. So you, the lender, you go ahead and agree to the short sale, and everybody is going to win. But here's where the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
You are the person that handles that is usually a loan servicer, and you're so many what I call generations removed from the decision maker, they just can't deal with it. You have the auction, you get the number, but before it just can't get passed up the chain to somebody that says, you know, we are really better off selling that home for $100,000 than we are going ahead and foreclosing on it and taking it into our inventory and then maybe selling it a year later for $66,000.
I can tell you, we have seen so many examples, Tommy, of that happening, only the numbers are honestly worse. We've seen lenders start at, you know, they take it back and they were owed $350,000, they started $280,000. And if they have stuck with their guns for a year, they're now getting $75,000.
Oh, I have just like you. I can literally, because we handle a great many properties, and so I can give you thousands of those examples in this last 4 year span of time, and it's very unfortunate. And you know what you have just talked about, in my opinion, if you said what is the number one way to solve our crisis right now. It is what you call the short sale, but what I say, just have the auction. I don't like to call it a short sale. I just like to say, let's go sell it for what it's worth, and the lender go ahead and say, that is what it's worth, and maybe they then decide if Bruce doesn't have any money at all and can't do anything else, they maybe are just going to have to let you walk. On the other hand, if Bruce does have a way that maybe over a period of time, maybe he could pay $10,000 towards a deficiency. But it's two entirely separate issues. The one issue, we ought to sell the home, get all we can get for it, get a new owner in it. And then the deficiency that you need to deal with the homeowner, that's an entirely different issue. It has nothing to do with the home, and you work it out as best you can, and that really has to be dealt with individually depending on the economic situation of that homeowner that's delinquent.
I agree. Unfortunately, we're getting at the end of our first segment here. So, Tommy, thanks again for joining us, and look forward to our next interview. We get to talk one more 20 or 25-minute segment, and as always, I've enjoyed it. Tommy, with Williams & Williams Auctions, and their phone number is...
918-250-2012.
Okay, thank you. All right, Tommy, we'll talk again.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.